Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. This is Friday. This is the last show of the week, Friday, December 8th, 2017. It's 1 p.m. on the East Coast, noon in Central Time, where whatever time it is where you're listening, whether that's live or on archive. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's coming up to Christmas season, and Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of people. Some people it means presents. If you're going to put somebody on your present list, how about RBN? Let's keep this project going. Today, I want to start off. We'll be taking callers, and that number is 1-800-313-9443. Today, I want to start off by talking about the embassy move to, well, the recognition of Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And that decision, yesterday's show was with Mark Collette. It was actually taped. We taped it on Monday, so we weren't talking about that. Day before that, Wednesday, I might have talked about this a little bit, but this move was actually announced. Was it formally announced on Wednesday or Thursday? I can't remember. But at any rate, there's been a lot of talk about it. If you watch the PBS NewsHour, for instance, the more intellectual liberal media, you see a number of, well, they'll actually invite on, they make a point, in fact, of inviting on scholars with Arabic names, with maybe a Palestinian or Arab background to talk about it, but they also have on their Jewish former State Department officials, think tank people, academics, and everybody is saying, well, it's a bad idea. This is breaking with 50 years of American policy, presidents of both sides. And of course, I think it's a bad idea. My position that I've taken talking about it on this and other shows has been that it could cause terrorism. It could cause terrorism in this country. It could cause violent reactions in other parts of the world that could escalate. So there's certainly a risk associated with it. If you go beyond that risk in terms of what real life impact it has on the ground, for those who are concerned about Palestinians, and I actually am, I always have been, I'm concerned about all my fellow human beings, it doesn't really do anything in terms of the facts on the ground. Within a couple of years, Rex Tillerson has said not this year, not next year, but within a couple of years they're going to switch the nameplates. There is an American consulate building in Jerusalem, and there is a American embassy in Tel Aviv, which is, what, 30 miles away or something? And I've looked at I've never been to Israel. I never intend on going to Israel, but I have looked on the internet to see the pictures of the building. The Tel Aviv embassy is a big concrete and glass building, several stories. I'm not sure. I don't remember how many, probably five or six stories. It's a fair-sized embassy, as you would expect. And then the one in Jerusalem seems to be lower. I'm not sure if I'm seeing the whole building. You see kind of a building near the gate on the street, but it looks like there's a compound and there's probably more buildings back in there, so I can't assess how large it is. But it seems to me that all this is going to be is switching the nameplates on the building, switching the embassy plate over to Jerusalem and the council plate over to Tel Aviv, and voila, you're done. Nothing really happening. It's symbolic. Now, Dr. Duke, on his show today, was saying that President... Well, okay, before we get to that, what I've been saying is, and I'm probably repeating myself from Wednesday, but I'm going to reiterate it, that, and I've said this on other shows, I've said it in conversations with reporters who have called up and asked, that I believe that this is part of President Trump's the art of the deal, that he's using it as a bargaining chip. Now, people would have thought, oh, he would use it as a bargaining chip within the Middle East peace process. Well, I mean, there's never really been a Middle East peace process. There's only been a Middle East land grab process. That's really all there's been. And, you know, so the whole thing's a fiction. You could, you know, have another Camp David, and you could throw this out as an incentive and try to get such and such concession from the Israelis. But all the Israelis would ever agree to would be a fictitious Palestinian state with no military, no control over its own borders, a completely vulnerable, only a symbolic change from the current status quo. Just as this is a symbolic change of switching the nameplates on these two buildings in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, the only kind of state that the Israelis would allow the Palestinians to have would be a fictitious state. In fact, there was a cabinet minister, I don't remember which one, but who was quoted as saying, sure, okay, if you want to call it a Palestinian state, you can call it a Palestinian state. If you want to call it chicken soup, you can call it chicken soup. So if you have no control over your borders, if you have no control over your airspace, if you have no control over your waters or over your ports, if you have no military, it's not a state, but they'll call it a state. And they'll, instead of the Palestinian Authority, it'll be the Palestinian government. It'll just be switching nameplates. That's all that they're interested in. And so one might say, well, if Trump is going to use this as a bargaining chip, why would he use it as a bargaining chip in that game? Why not use it as a bargaining chip in another game? And the other game is the game of remaining president, the game of trying to get things done. This has been my position, that he is using it to, and it's been my position since before the election, that he is not going to make a full on assault on Jewish power. He is going to attack certain parts of it and not others. And the parts he's attacking are the media, the fake news, he's calling it the fake news, and their immigration policy. You know, a lot of people think Jews' number one policy priority is Israel. Now, I've mentioned this before. Peter Boehnert, who is a writer, I believe he writes with The Nation. He writes with other magazines. He's a Jewish writer. Where is he from? He's not. He might have been born in America. I don't think he was. He's certainly of relatively recent extraction from somewhere. But he's a Jewish writer, and he wrote, "The dirty little secret is that Jewish voters don't vote on Israel." Now, of course, the dirtier little secret that he's not revealing is because they don't need to, because Jewish donors, Jewish gatekeepers, Jewish media screen out any politician who wouldn't be supportive of Israel. And so there's no candidate who's not supportive of Israel. So why do they have to vote based on Israel? So they can vote based on other things. And I would say my position is that their number one policy priority, because Israel's locked down, is actually immigration. That, you know, the Jews in Israel, their top priority is ethnically cleansing Palestinians in the lands that they've dwelt in. I think the top priority of diaspora Jews, American Jews, is the ethnic cleansing of the traditional population of the United States. That's their top priority. So President Trump, by campaigning and winning an election explicitly based on an anti-immigration platform, building a wall, deporting them all, deporting the illegal aliens. You know, he's hemmed and hawed a little bit on the Dreamers, but his actual policy on them is to end DACA, and he's deporting. He's doing as much as he's allowed to. You know, he's had his executive orders overruled by the judiciary, and of course he's come under massive attack from the media. But so he's taking on the media, he's taking on the Jewish immigration lobby. At the same time, he's playing footsie with Jewish Wall Street. And this is not new. He said on the campaign trail that he was going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So it's not new. And I think he's playing this card now. Perhaps it's because Flynn just got, he's had his plea bargain. So he wants a little bit of leverage. He wants to have some Jews. And even though the top of the Jewish establishment, which is more of what I call the cunning Jews as opposed to the crazy Jews, more of those who like having a fiction of a peace process that's going to lead to a two-state solution, as opposed to those who are just ultra-Zionist, openly ultra-Zionist, and I don't think they're necessarily more dangerous than the those who are more cunning. I think he welcomes the voicing of support by people like Alan Dershowitz and others who are more fanatically and openly in support of Israel, that this is a card he's playing in his game to try to remain in office and get some of his priorities enacted. That's been my position. Now, Dr. Duke today, and I will be taking callers shortly. I just want to get these thoughts out there. Dr. Duke is saying that that Trump is actually, it's more than just that, and this is very interesting, that he is actually doing this move that seems so subservient to Jews, to Zionism, to Israel, as a means of exposing how subservient our political establishment is to Israel. I think that's a very interesting argument. Obviously, Donald Trump, having made a fortune in the New York real estate market, has from time to time had dealings with Jews. Has made so much money from time to time, he must have actually come out ahead with the upper hand in some of those dealings. He has to know something about Jewish priorities, about Jewish organization, about Jewish power. And he does have a son-in-law. He does have his daughter married. So he's had a lot of up close and personal time with Jews that he has to know a great deal about what's going on. And this is Dr. Duke's position. And Andrew Anglin at the Daily Stormer also he's pointing out that a lot of the Jewish establishment, he in fact reprinted a tweet from Dianne Feinstein where, she wrote a letter a week ago to Donald Trump asking him not to do this move, which is odd because she has supported many congressional resolutions calling for the movement of the capital to Israel, but she's not supporting Donald Trump doing this. And Andrew Anglin is offering that up as an indication that that even somebody like Dianne Feinstein, who has publicly voted numerous times to move the capital to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, that she is begging Donald Trump not to do exactly what she's been calling for all this time, as an indication that Donald Trump is actually doing this to has other motives that are not in the Jewish interest to do this, such as exposing their power, their hypocrisy, their double standards. So with that, let's go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey. I guess I'm on, right?
You are on.
Okay. Y'all ever seen Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts?
That's a pretty good flick. It's called Charlie Wilson's War? No, I haven't. It's vaguely familiar.
Oh, okay. Well, you could look for one particular clip that is up floating around called The Sexiest Woman Ever. Charlie Wilson was, I think, the only civilian, as far as I know, that ever got the highest award the intelligence community ever gives, has ever given a civilian. Usually you have to be like an actual agent of one of those, you know, intelligence agencies to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think that's near the end of the movie where he gets that award. But Julia Roberts plays this political operative that's way up in the Republican Party, and they're having a tryst. He's laying in the bathtub, and she's putting her makeup on in the mirror. It's kind of shocking to see Julia Roberts playing a character like this. And as I understand it, the real-life woman that she's portraying was not happy about it.
Yeah, well, she played a hooker in Pretty Woman, right?
Yeah, but yeah, this girl was more of a, I don't know. she was kind of a high-class Southern belle broad that apparently didn't mind, you know, having Charlie Wilson as a boyfriend, and you get the impression that she's some kind of she might be a CIA operative herself or something. She arranges a meeting with Charlie Wilson with the president of Afghanistan, trying to get him to arm the Mujahideen, which that's the link to Osama bin Laden there, but
And when did this take place, by the way? When was this supposed to?
This is the events that led up to getting Afghanistan free of the Soviets.
So this is 1980s then, okay?
Right, yeah, free of the Soviets. Well, the point I'm getting at with this scene is, and I don't know how it got through Hollywood, but you know, you can't tell the story without setting up the events to where Israel sat down with the Saudi Arabians and did an arms deal, even though all this trading that we're doing with Israel is illegal because they are nuclear armed, and Jimmy Carter mm-hmm. pretty much let that out. So we're giving all this foreign aid, military aid to Israel, and it's against the law to do that, but they gave it was illegal for them to give this aid to Saudi Arabia, so they gave it to Israel. Israel gave it to Saudi Arabia, and then they funneled it to Mujahideen so they could shoot down the helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this scene, Charlie Wilson is like, okay, I'll go meet with this guy, but I'm not sure how well my supporters are going to appreciate me meeting with Arabs. The Jews are not going to be happy about it. And she goes, well, how many Jews are in your district, Charlie? And he goes, 7, but congressmen aren't elected by voters. They're elected by contributors in Ireland or in Hollywood, Florida, mm-hmm. and New York. And I'm Israel's guy on the Hill. And I about fell off my couch when I saw that. I mean, I had been recommended the movie by somebody to watch, you know, based on how we got where we're at with this war on terror and why all the chaos happened. And Congress basically abandoned Afghanistan after they routed the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point I'm getting at is that movie.
The point you're getting at, you probably won't have time to make because we're going to be going to break in a few seconds.
Well,
so why don't you hang on?
Congressman, it's right there in that movie. Congress is elected by Jews.
Okay.
Right there in that movie.
That is the point.
And we're worried about undue influence from the Soviets or the Russians? I mean, that's silly.
Okay. I'm not hearing the music, but if we're going to break,
yeah,
and you'd like to hang on, feel free to hang on.
Yeah. It's just silly to worry about the Russians.
Okay, we're skipping this break. So just hang right on then.
Well, that's the point I was getting at, is that there's, you know, straight out of Hollywood, how it got past the censors, I don't know. But it basically admits that the congressmen, the voters aren't important, you know. And I mean, it's just painfully obvious once somebody starts paying attention that we do not control our own government. We don't control our own government.
And yeah, I've never seen that movie. But the thing about Hollywood censorship and the censorship we have, it's not centralized. it's not centralized. It's not like in 1984 where you've got this building. It's a Ministry of Truth, and they're going through things very methodically.
Well, it's certainly getting that way. I just read an article today that said that Silicon Valley is censoring things on a scale beyond that of the Soviet East European bloc, and videos being pulled down about all the Israeli fomented immigration into Europe. Mm. Even the government video from Poland has been censored by YouTube. It was issued by the government of Poland.
Censorship's increasing, and with regards to the internet, when you start to get these choke points, which are kind of centralized, like Google is it's a choke point. So much goes through YouTube, and everything is digital, and it's much easier to go through at least certain types of information when it's in a digital form. You can do searches for things. Text is easiest.
Also easy to corral people or entrap people, as the FBI or the CIA just said about Trump's tweets. Trump's tweets actually helped them find where who is supporting certain issues and who is so you can much more easily weed out and find troublesome people and profile them.
That's right. Retweeting and things like that. But with regards to the censorship or lack of censorship of that particular and very revealing scene from the movie, Charlie's War, I guess is what you called it. I'm not sure when that was filmed, but you do have things like Ben Stein or Joel Stein's articles talking about the Jewish control of Hollywood that are still published in Jewish publications like
2007 was when that movie came out, Charlie Wilson's War. So it helped to explain how we got where we were in the War on Terror, I think, very well.
Mm-hmm.
That scene there is what fell off the couch. There's also a fairly funny scene where he gets the Israelis to sit down with the Saudis over a belly dancer to work the deal. But they're still doing these deals. Today, Saudi Arabia is still funneling aid that they get from Israel that we give them to prop up the Islamic State and give us the best enemy money can buy, keep all this chaos going so that there's just continual non-ending flood of refugees into European and even American countries. I mean, that's the game, and it's to destabilize us. I see it as, mainly to destabilize the Western cultures, where there is no viable opposition to anything Israel wants. But they're going to have to be very careful that they don't, neuter America as their bulldog. I think that it's an entirely possibility that we won't be an effective bulldog for them anymore if they're not very careful. They're losing a lot of people. They're losing a lot of patriotism. There's people that are no longer loyal to this Solzhenitsyn. I think he started out mentioning that. We have a Gulag archipelago that was in that story about all the censorship coming out of Silicon Valley. They're calling it Gulag instead of Google, calling it Gulag. Yeah. Well, I'll let you go, guys. You got a great topic here. Very timely, of course.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your call. And the aspect of it where you're emphasizing this movie says this particular congressman didn't have hardly any Jewish voters in his district, yet he was still the Jewish representative based on donations. And even that, it goes a little bit deeper than that, because it's not necessarily that Jewish donations are the bulk of congressional campaign budgets. Now, they do seem to be the bulk of presidential campaign budgets, but at the congressional level, if you look at the numbers that are published in the Washington Review, it's a a magazine that looks, the Washington Report on Mideastern Affairs, that's what it's called, the Washington Report on Mideastern Affairs. And, you know, they'll show all of the APEC donations to the various Congress people, which is, it's kind of the, still kind of the tip of the iceberg. But it's not that they're that huge. You're talking about, you know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars. But a Senate campaign can cost $10 million easily. And congressional campaigns usually cost a couple of million dollars. What is really the controlling factor? It's the same thing that allows one or two gunmen to hijack an airplane with hundreds of people, or to take hostages in a bank situation that, that greatly outnumber them. Nobody wants to be that first person to step up, and, because they're going to get wiped out. In the same way, if you are a Cynthia McKinney, or you know, there's been other victims in the past, they step up and start talking about Jewish power. What they've come up against is a extremely well-financed primary or general election opponent in what otherwise would be a safe seat. And so nobody's willing to step up and be that first person to, you know, to take one for the team.
There's also mass conditioning, mass programming among the evangelicals, and I don't understand it, because if you read your own Bible, even their own archaeologists have shown that the Western Wall had to have been built after the Romans sacked the temple. So right away, the prophecy was fulfilled that not one stone would be left upon another, even if you don't count the temple itself. You know, if you're trying to say the Western Wall was part of the temple, which it apparently wasn't, but, you know, that fulfilled the prophecy for Yeshua, as I call him, to have been a prophet, you know, based on what he said. Not one stone will be left upon another. But the support of building a new temple basically is spitting on the cross. I mean, you're saying that that's, you know, that sacrifice is not good enough. And if I give you something, I can mail you, I'll mail you a piece of the Jefferson Davis Monument that I have. I have a Jefferson, little piece of concrete that belonged, it was on the Jefferson Davis Monument in Kentucky. Spent $600,000 redoing the elevator and the concrete facade on. I happened to go by there and picked up some pieces of it. I'll mail that to you, and I'll give it to you forever. Forever. It's yours forever. Okay, you get to keep it. What happens if it gets stolen and you lose it, or you lose it and you get... I still gave it to you forever. You lost it. The Jews lost the land how many times now? Two? Three? They had the Babylonian captivity. They had the Romans that destroyed it. The idea that they've got the land forever was given to them, and it's not some kind of tribal legend. They lost it. How many times? And that doesn't mean, how can... you can do anything you want.
And no, we are now Jews, coming up to the break.
Right. You can't do anything you want just because you think you're God's chosen people.
Well, thank you for your call. I hope to hear from you again sometime soon. We'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. I'm Patrick Slattery. I am taking calls 1-800-313-9443. I let that bumper music play a little bit. That is Filbert Applebag. I've mentioned him several times. And yesterday, we had the great pleasure of debuting one of his rock songs, I think going into the last break of yesterday's show. I'll start playing that a little bit more in the bumpers. Not today, though, but he's got a lot of interesting music, and I'll have him back on again sometime. We'll have a discussion of it. There's more topics I want to talk about. I want to get to Me Too and Al Franken, because Al Franken's was his announcement that he was resigning. That was after the show on Wednesday, I believe. It seemed like it was coming. And you know, he had his apology, which was combined with a denial. And what I've been saying is regarding Al Franken. First of all, the photograph that was released. What was that? I mean, he was hamming it up for the camera, and you know, you can say it was crude and inappropriate, but you can also say whatever. He wasn't even touching the girl. He's just hamming it up for the camera, and it was juvenile at best. I got to do something about this phone. Sorry about that. It's juvenile at worst. Now, if, you know, he stuck his tongue in her mouth. She says he stuck his tongue in her mouth during a rehearsed kiss scene. Yeah, that's gross. But what we're getting to with this is the point where, you know, not necessarily any individual woman, but we're like just a small selected group of women, a few women making accusations with very little evidence can overrule the voters of an entire state. Now, Al Franken, I will confess, when he was a comedian, I thought he was funny. I thought Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live was a very funny character. As a politician, I have absolutely no use for him. I think I don't know. I don't follow him that closely. And I understand from multiple sources that he's actually a particularly nasty person with a nasty personality. I would be fine with him resigning because he's a jerk. I'd be fine with him resigning because he is a Jewish supremacist and hates white people. You know, there's a lot of things where I would be fine with him resigning. This, no, actually, I don't want him to resign on this. He hasn't actually resigned yet. He's just announced his intention to resign. So, you know, Al Franken, if you want to resign for a legitimate reason, be my guest. But I will officially call on you not to resign over these charges. These charges, at worst, he's a creep, okay? He's creepy. Well, so what? That's what we know. We know that. What I'm getting at is that I think he's being thrown under the bus by the Democrats because they want to then say, well, look, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and Roy Moore, blah, 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 and Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. I think this is what that I've talked in the past about Al Franken being part of a night for a night swap in a chess match where they're ahead. But really, that's probably not even the right analogy. It's not the right chess analogy. It's I think he's more of the pawn who is being sacrificed to get at a queen or even get at checkmate, that they're trying to set up a scenario where they can impeach Donald Trump. I mean, didn't the Republicans 20 years ago set the precedent that that merely lying to an investigator about something that was really a personal matter, was not illegal, was embarrassing, you know, Monica Lewinsky and that, merely lying about an extramarital affair was cause for impeachment. The Republicans set that as a precedent. And I thought it was stupid at the time, and I thought it was stupid since, but that's the precedent. And now you have this new standard that if somebody has multiple accusations made against them, they have to resign. And they're, you know, this is what they're trying to do with Trump. And they are going to also try to do this with Roy Moore. He'll come in. There will be an ethics committee investigation. The ethics committee is going to make a report. And then it wouldn't be at all surprising if there is a vote to expel Roy Moore from the Senate. I don't necessarily think that's going to pass, but I do think that's what they're aiming to do. So I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think it's necessarily a victory for us to see Al Franken resign, because, you know, there's plenty more where he came from. It's interesting that you've got someone like Kirsten Gillibrand, who I thought I'd turn this off. Kirsten Gillibrand, who is who was appointed to fill Hillary Clinton's seat when she became Secretary of State, that she's doing so much grandstanding on this. And also interesting that Kamala Harris, the nominally black senator from California, who seems not to really possess a whole lot of qualifications for the presidency, except a little bit of melanin, that, you know, they're at the forefront of this. This may well be the way they set up to take on Donald Trump, if he remains in office, to take him on in the 2000 election. So, again, my position on this Me Too-ism is that this is not the direction that the Harvey Weinstein revelations should have gone in. The direction should have been to look at it as an example of Jewish malfeasance, not male predation on females. There's one more aspect of it I want to get to. And if you want to weigh in on this, again, the number is 1-800-313-9443. But one more aspect I want to get at is, there are these allegations that that powerful men like John Conyers, another sacrificed pawn, that John Conyers, these powerful men have used their positions of power to get women to have sex with them. Well, what is the flip side of that? The flip side of that is that, if the women go along with it, if they cooperate, then they are going to get special perks. If they don't, then they're going to face repercussions. And we're hearing from women who contend that they faced repercussions. But remember, especially in Hollywood, we're hearing from women who no doubt played along and got the benefits. Is there a flip side to Me Too-ism where we start calling out women who provided sexual favors in order to advance their careers? And, if you're talking about Hollywood, well, you're advancing the career of one starlet over another. Will some starlets who didn't play the game start speaking out? I mean, I know there's a woman who wanted to be an actress named Sinead McCarthy, and she's on the internet, and she wanted to be an actress. And when she saw what was necessary in order to become an actress, she said, "The hell with it," and got completely out of the business. And that's something, one of the things she talks about. Are more women going to start not just, saying I didn't play the game and I couldn't get ahead, but maybe calling out those who got the roles? They wanted this role. They didn't play along, and then another woman got the role. Are they going to start calling out the women who got the roles? How about go away from the Hollywood setting where, you're casting somebody for a role. What about in a corporate setting? Are there going to be men who call out women who got promoted ahead of them who played along? I'm asking this. Is it going to happen? Because it could happen. Isn't it the flip side? If some women are who don't play along are getting penalized, doesn't that mean that some women who do play along are being advanced? And increasingly, it's probably not very common, but that you do have the potential for, as women get ahead and are placed in positions of authority over men, you could have the same thing going on where women are using their power vis-a-vis men. I don't think it would really be that much of a thing, because men and women are different. And I think women would be less likely to do it because women have more of a tendency to be monogamous and more of an instinct. Yet with feminism teaches women that no, your sexuality is just like men, and so you should be just as promiscuous as men, and so you should be just as predatory as men. I don't think that's really a natural thing. I don't think women are instinctively like that. But feminism could program women to be like that, and some of the women who advance are perhaps more likely to be infected with that kind of feminist ideology. So that's a question. I've thrown it out there. I don't know what the hashtag should be. Me Too is the hashtag that's calling on women to accuse men who in the past looked at them funny or put their hand on them as they posed for a picture or whatever, or, more serious things. And I'm not saying there's not more serious things. There's plenty more serious things. But what would be the hashtag to use for this flip side? You Too? I don't know. Maybe somebody who's imaginative could call in and provide a good hashtag for that. Okay, let us move on. Let's go to probably the final topic, which is the whole Russia hoax. And, you know, we've been talking about this ever since this show began, ever since, and I've been talking about it on other shows. There's never been anything to this Russia hoax. Flynn is now, General Flynn has had a plea bargain because he apparently had lied to FBI agents who were interviewing them and interviewing him. It's not even 100% clear he understood he was being interviewed as part of an investigation. But at any rate, there's been some sort of plea bargain, some sort of deal, and he's only going to be prosecuted for something minor. And as I've said, I think his conversations with Ambassador, what was his name, Krasniak or Kierzniak, whatever the Russian ambassador's name was very much needed. It was very much needed in the wake of the Obama administration's levying of sanctions against Russia for hacking the elections. It wasn't meddling back then. It was out and out hacking. And of course, there was no hacking. There were no no voting booths that were hacked into, no computer systems that were hacked into in order to flip votes. And so they had to go into meddling, which means some people took out ads on Facebook. But yeah, that'll swing the election. Yeah, spend, thousands of dollars, not millions, thousands of dollars on Facebook ads. Yeah, that'll swing the election. And of course, it's perfectly legal to take out ads on Facebook. So there's nothing illegal there, but it's still meddling. It's still meddling. It's still treason. It's an impeachable offense, even though the United States over the decades has gone way beyond spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to pumping them into the preferred political parties and political candidates in other countries. It's gone way beyond that. It's gone and paid provocateurs to start riots, demonstrations, strikes, and gone beyond that. And in fact, just out and out invaded countries. That's not meddling. Well, that's what we've been doing. But yet, if some people who may have links to the Kremlin take out some Facebook ads, that is a treasonable offense for President Trump, because that's the only reason he's in office. Well, if that's the only reason he's in office, if some RT stories and some Facebook ads, if that's what put him in office, all I have to say is thank you to those people who might have done it. His election victory was so narrow, and I predicted he was going to be elected. I didn't predict it was going to be that narrow. Actually, I thought he was going to win by a more of a healthy margin, and maybe he did win by more of a healthy margin. Maybe there was some voter fraud, especially in a place like California, where you openly have lots of public officials who want foreigners, not necessarily illegal aliens, but certainly foreigners, to be able to vote. But Trump's election victory was narrow enough that anybody who had any impact on the election, especially in the states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, could claim to have been the factor. And I know that, I have claimed that the alt-right movement had played a big enough role. Certainly Sean Hannity on Fox, I'm no fan of Sean Hannity, but he came up big. You could easily make the case he was the deciding factor. So you can make those cases. One last thing about the voting by foreigners. So remember, it's not just illegal aliens we're talking about. We've got tens of millions of foreign-born people who don't have citizenship. And if you can have a green card, you can be here for 20 or 30 years. If you're not a citizen, you're not allowed to vote. And I know, I've seen it. I have seen these mass mailings that went out to who were received by foreigners. They went out to foreigners, encouraging them to vote. In the fine print, it said, remember, you have to be a citizen, but it's only in the fine print. We'll be back after the break.
Are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the final segment of the final show for this week. It's Friday. We'll have our weekend break and be back on Monday. I often, in this segment, make an additional pitch because we have, in the last break, you heard the appeal for funds. And, you know, so I'm making the appeal for funds, but I'm making it here as in the context of really the media. We have a primarily Jewish media, a Jewish-dominated media. At least this is what Ben Stein says. It's what Joel Stein says. You know, is a media run by Jews? Yes, you bet it is. And what of it? That's what Ben Stein wrote. We know that. I mean, David Brooks has written about Jewish power. Lots of Jews talk about Jewish power. It's a reality. And, you know, even Fox, Rupert Murdoch, is probably not Jewish. Some people say he is. There is a certain amount of debate about that, but whatever. It's a Jewish-dominated media, and they have billions and billions. I'm sounding like the Jewish physicist Carl Sagan, billions and billions of dollars. Which, what does that mean? That means they can have hundreds of thousands of people working full time, pumping out their propaganda. And what do we have? We have places like RBN, which is very respectable, but it's not huge. And RBN doesn't have billions and billions of dollars, but RBN is part of this very small handful of outlets, mostly internet-based, that are providing this good analysis and true information that's not under the control of this establishment, this Jewish, primarily Jewish establishment, not just Jews, but primarily Jewish establishment, that's really, you know, that's destroying our people. It's destroying our nation, our country, our constitutional republic. It's destroying everything that we value. And RBN and just a small handful of other places are putting up the good fight. It is, I would like to say, it is a Goliath and what's his name? But I don't want to, David, I know it's David, but I don't want to identify with a Jewish king. But we are that very small force that they are afraid of. And it is so vital. And why do CNN have billions of dollars? Why do those people have billions of dollars? Well, partly because the Jews are very, very willing to invest and donate, and also partly because they're getting their money from you if you subscribe to cable TV or subscribe to anything else. They're getting their money from you. They're getting their money from you through your taxes. Think of PBS and NPR. They're getting their money from you. Make sure you give a little bit to the people who are trying to free you. So that is my appeal. It's vital, and we're going to be here doing the good fight until we either win or draw our last breath. That's our commitment to you. And please think about that. We will be back next week. More truth that you can handle.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.